Makoto, and welcome to another exciting episode of Kick Arts, Auckland's comprehensive art show brought to you every Sunday night here at Planet FM 104.6 or live stream planetaudio.org.nz. Call Richard Green, tēnā, your host for the next 90 minutes. Hare Matariki, kia koutou. Today, Matariki begins, and looking up to the stars in the sky, seeing those Matariki stars, it's nice to have our own celebration, isn't it, Georgia, rather than adopting something from the Northern Hemisphere?
Yes.
Welcome.
Sorry, for a second I thought you were saying that, like, we were having our own celebration here in this room.
Oh, we are.
Rather than adopting something from... I got confused, but now I'm up to date and I fully
Matariki,
agree.
You're aware of the concept?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was just slow on the uptake.
Yeah. Did I wake you?
Yeah, I fell asleep, guys.
I know. No, not on the microphone.
Sleep is good.
Sleep is good. And speaking of sleep, in the studio we have Molly, who's reviewing. Now, Molly is 10, so she needs to go home to sleep, so we're going to be talking to her soon. She's reviewing The Great White Man Eating Shark.
And Other Stories.
Thank you. Great. Glad to finish it off. That's very important, the Other Stories bit, isn't it? Because there's obviously more than one. And also, welcome back, my sometimes wing person, Paula Crimmins.
Hello.
And you're here to review The Changeling.
That's right.
Awesome. Yep.
Can't wait.
Well, I missed a good thing, apparently.
You did, yeah. It was terrific.
Don't tell me. I always miss the good ones.
Yeah.
Speaking of the good ones, back in the studio with us is Chris Rex,
hey.
Who's doing... Oh. They can't see you.
There's
no point in doing the finger gunning because
no
it's radio.
It's all right.
Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Welcome back. And you are involved with the chair at Depot.
Yes.
Which is sounds like a really interesting concept, which we'll talk about soon with your fellow actor Antonio.
Antonio, yeah.
Who's somewhere lost.
He's coming.
Yep. And so is your play, and we're all looking forward to it.
Certainly is.
And speaking of Matariki, there are a lot of events in Auckland over the next period, Matariki period, and in the studio we've got Hannah. Welcome, Hannah. Kia ora, and welcome. You're going to tell us all about these free events, all these events that are happening?
Absolutely.
I assume they're free.
Focus on the visual arts side of things, because that's where my specialty lies.
Ah, nice, yeah. Nice. But you can cheer all the others too as well.
Well, there's quite some hundreds.
Yeah, we won't go through all of them.
No,
but,
not tonight.
Isn't it fantastic that we're celebrating Matariki now, rather than just being something that's kind of waved over a little bit?
I think it's really joyous that the festival has kind of grown from... its beginnings many years ago, actually, and there's been this renewal, and it's a very vibrant festival.
It is. Looking forward to celebrating with everyone. Speaking of celebrations, let's celebrate bedtime, Molly, and let's hear your review. So you went and saw the Great White Man Eating Shark. The Great White Man Eating Shark.
And other stories.
And I just read, actually... Just read in a publication that comes out in Auckland every day in the morning on my phone that great white sharks are endangered, actually. They've gone from at risk.
Did you not know that?
Well, they've gone from at risk to endangered.
Right.
And more sharks die from attacks by humans than humans die from attacks by sharks. I'm just putting that out there.
Wow.
Mm. And sharks never hurt anybody? Well, they did, but usually if they're cornered.
Apparently a few people die from cows.
Cows?
Every year.
Right. And they probably hit them in their car or something. I don't know. Yeah, they might do. You get trampled by a cow. They're big things, cows.
They're scary.
They scare me.
Yep.
Go tramping, at some places and you have to cross farmland and walk past cows.
I'm more
they
scared
stare
of horses
at you.
Than cows.
Yeah,
they
and sharks.
I'm really scared of pigs.
Sharks are cute.
You're scared of pigs?
Yeah, because someone once told me a story about a farmer and he loved his pig. And this is a true story, this is a neighbour. And then one day he went down to visit the pig and apparently the pig turned around, crazy look in its eyes, and chased him and then ate his leg.
What? Oh my goodness.
Like actually bit into his leg.
No. Two words, animal farm. Right, Molly, let's hear your review of this. When did you go? You went on Saturday?
Yes.
That was yesterday.
Whatever yesterday was.
Yep, that was Saturday. So tell us about it. Tell us a little bit about what it's about to start off with.
So it starts off and there are auditions for the school play, the Caramel Cove school play.
Yeah.
I like the name, Caramel Cove.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a big sea full of caramel. And this boy tries to get in, but he just pretends to be a shark, so he can't get in, which is kind of sad. And so he makes it his own play, and he scares people. He learns to swim and scares people out of the water by strapping a shark fin on his back, and then goes and swims all by himself. And then in the next one, he is...
Paula, you went with it, didn't you?
I did, yeah. So he there's too many people in the water, so he gets people out of the water, doesn't he, by pretending to be a
shark. Yeah, which one's the second one?
The second one. Well, you see, I just think of the hippo one because that's my favourite.
Same.
Yeah.
So tell us about the hippo.
Okay, so the last one was the boy who was followed home, and a boy is walking home from school. And he loves hippos. And suddenly...
Who doesn't love a hippo?
Purple ones.
Purple?
Purplish, greyish ones.
Yeah.
Especially ones that follow you and are very funny. Anyway, so he thought he was followed, and then he looked around, and there was a hippo right behind him. And so he started running...
Don't give away the plot too much, because people haven't seen it.
Home.
There we go, we'll leave it there.
And the hippo followed him very slowly, and then there were lots.
Lots of hippos?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a Tim Bray school holiday production, because the school holidays start on...
Next week.
End of next week. And so it's aimed at sort of, you know, anywhere from toddlers up to your age. Tell us about, were there good performances in there? Was it a good script? Was it funny?
It was very good, especially the hippo was very funny.
Yeah. So we keep hearing a recurring theme about a funny hippo. Yep.
And this hippo was played by Kat Glass.
Yeah.
And she played Emily, Courtney, the witch's shadow and the hippo. And also in the last, I think it was the last Tim Bray show, she also played Pippi Longstocking. The last show was Pippi Longstocking, and she played Annika.
Oh, wow.
So she's a big favourite, isn't she?
You liked her.
We like her.
Yeah?
Good they were all good, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yes.
Lots of songs?
Four of them.
Was it a musical?
Yeah, there was lots of songs, lots of music. There was very catchy songs, wasn't there? We went away.
Yeah, especially the hippo song.
Yeah,
the hippo.
Oh, my goodness. I've got to go just to see this hippo sing. It sounds worthwhile. Maybe it should have been called The Hippo and Other Stories.
The Purple Hippo and Other Stories.
Yeah, because the Great White Man-Eating Shark's quite a mouthful, and Other Stories is quite a mouthful. The Blue Hippo and Other Stories. And Margaret Mahe. Yeah?
You could just say Margaret Mahe Stories.
Oh, Mahe.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And so so if people going in the holidays and they're going, what am I going to do with my children these holidays? Would you recommend to parents that they take them along?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. So it's on at the Pump House?
Yes, which is in Takapuna.
Yeah.
Next to a lake.
Lake Pupuki?
With lots of...
Swans.
Yeah.
And ducks and a couple of...
We're not reviewing the lake. We're not reviewing the lake.
Sounds like a good lake, though.
It does.
Aren't they going on tour as well?
Yes, they're going on tour to Whangarei, Kirikiri, and...
Kaitaia.
Aye. And Whangarei and Kirikiri are in July, which I think Pinch and a Punch for the first of the month. I just realised it's the first.
It is.
So later on in July, Whangarei and Kirikiri.
Awesome.
And in August, they'll be in Kaitaia.
Wow. Well, thank you, Molly. And so, Paul, you've had a busy week because you went and saw The Great White Man-Eating Shark and Other Stories.
Yes.
And
The Changeling. And I'm a culture vulture.
You are, aren't you?
Yeah.
But that way, get that way. Yeah.
So The Changeling was performed by Auckland Uni Students Association.
I saw it at Auckland Uni.
Yeah.
But it's also going to be in four venues across Auckland, yep. which I'll tell you, or you can put it on the Facebook
page.
Yeah,
but just we can...
I thought it was terrific. Mm. It's a very tricky play to get right. It was really adapted. Michael Hirst directed it and adapted it, and he paired it right back, which is really good. But all the language was retained, so it was all, you know, Jacobean type language. But I went with a 16-year-old, and she understood it all. So there you go. We've got some good.
And 16-year-olds aren't renowned.
Well, they're not really. And she was pretty riveted. Now, it was quite short, mm-hmm. Which is also a plus for me, as you know. But we both really enjoyed it. And in some of the notes that I read that Michael Hirst wrote, he talked about it being chilling. And it's very difficult to chill in the theatre. Mm. Very difficult to get that. I've kind of talked about that before. I thought the... Theatre of Scotland with the James plays years ago did it, and I thought that Unitec did it with that amazing production of Titus, and I thought this one did it. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that they did it was they had, and we were very sceptical when we first arrived because it was all just in little round tables like a bar. It was set like a bar, and it was like a cabaret. Mm-hmm. And there was a big statue of the Virgin Mary. And so there was no real disconnect between the audience and what was happening. And that's very unsettling, I find. Mm, I quite like to kind of sit back, take the house lights down, you know what I mean? But it did make it very immediate, and it did make it quite uncomfortable. Sometimes people were coming in from behind you, sometimes they were coming in from the side. And the lighting was amazing. Quite often the actors held their own torches. It was just lit by... It was very intimate.
Low budget.
But, well, I mean, effective also, you know. This I thought it was very effective.
Yeah, yes, I was being facetious.
Were you? There was humour in it, dark humour, but all for the right reasons, because I've seen Jacobean tragedies where people are laughing for all the wrong reasons, you know, because they're often so outrageous, and for modern eyes, you know, you just think, if you don't get it right, it can just be laughable. But I thought they got it right. And for me and my 16-year-old daughter who are watching it, it wasn't lost on us how much emphasis in the play was put on the importance of a woman's virginity over and above everything else that she did. She was murdering, manipulative, double-crossing. But the fact that she, you know... The worst thing is she was unchaste. Do you know what I mean? It was that kind of...
So moral judgment of the day.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Which they were obsessed with, the Jacobeans. The style was 1940s, suits and heels and little chignons. The women had little chignons.
Okay, you're going to have to explain what a chignon
is. Which is a little bun at the base of the... Okay. Yeah, and I thought that worked really well because Beatrice, who's the central character... started off with a really neat one, and as the play went on, it unravelled more and more until the
metaphor.
End. You know, she all this beautiful blonde hair was everywhere. I really enjoyed it. I thought there was terrific performances from Anthea Hill, who was Beatrice, and Mel O'Dedra, who was De Floris, who was very creepy and obsessive. Mm. And they were the major, and they were really well supported by the others. They were all, I said, well, who's a university student here? I didn't really get the, you know, who was doing what, but they were mostly alumni of Auckland Uni. And one was a present student, Ruby, who I think came here to talk about it, was a third year student. So that's the kind of link. So I would go and see it.
It's on for a while, isn't it?
I would. Well, it's
touring around.
It is. It's University of Auckland until the 7th, and then it's at the Pump House, our favourite Pump House, from the 9th to the 13th, and then it's in Kew Theatre in the Vault. Which one is that?
Downstairs.
I don't think I've seen anything in there.
It's really hot. Tiny.
It's hot and tiny, so it'll get that claustrophobic feeling going again, and they'll do the same thing. Mm. Yeah. So I think it could work. It's not, you know. And with several extra late night shows.
Wow.
And then the Uxbridge Theatre, Howick, till the 3rd
sharing,
of August.
Sharing the love.
They really are. Yeah. So I think there's no excuse not to go and get a bit of 17th century. The Changeling, Middleton and Rowley, Auckland Uni Students Association.
Not the Summer Shakespeare.
That's right. Yeah. It's not Shakespeare and it's not the summer.
That's right. So it's not the Summer Shakespeare.
That's right.
It works really well. Just like that. But it is Matariki.
Yes, yes, as we've heard.
Yes. And was there any hippos? Were there any
hippos? There was no hippos.
Okay.
There was no...
Just checking.
No, you know, attractive, no pleasant animals in it whatsoever.
Okay.
Yeah. No, and but no there was animals, lots of blood.
No animals were hurt in the making
no,
of the change.
No, but no. People were. But
oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, it sounds like
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So you said it's short, about 50 minutes, an hour, 70 minutes?
Yeah. No, it's about an hour.
Yeah.
It's coming up.
Wow, they've
an hour.
They've butchered it then, haven't they?
Well, they've, taken out the subplot.
Oh, right.
Which I think you could do with lots of plays.
Yeah.
Although in Lear, yeah, I would leave the subplot and I'd take out Lear, but that's another story.
Oh, that's a conversation we should have on
yeah,
here sometime. I'd be interested in that.
Yeah. How would you butcher?
How would you butcher Lear?
Jacobean, well, yeah, or even Shakespearean yeah, plays. How would you redo them? So that yeah, would be one recommendation I would have. Oh, yes.
Tangway and the curry, they take out his eyes. That's something.
Yeah?
They've started for you there.
Sorry?
That tangway and the curry, they take out his eyes. So
yeah, that's right,
they
yeah,
started the process there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Take out Lear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, carry on.
Yeah, with Lear.
Take out Lear's eyes. Yeah.
Take out Lear completely.
Yes.
Just leave the three daughters. Thank you, Paula.
Okay.
Now
welcome.
I understand that you're going, taking whisk
I'm
Molly away. Chauffeuring.
I'm
thank
her,
you for that.
I'm her
chauffeur.
Handler.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thanks, and I hope you have a good week
yeah,
and stay
you,
warm, because it's, you know, it's supposed to be...
It's Matariki.
Well, and also it's...
Ah, Matariki.
It's dry July as well, but it's actually not that dry out there, I just have to say. Not
no, but
dry.
It's only the first, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is. Oh. Yeah, it's quite wet. Right.
Brilliant.
Thank
have a great
you, Molly.
Show.
Thank you, Paula.
Thank you.
And welcome, Antonio.
Oh, kia ora.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. Kia ora, Paula. Kia ora, Molly. Kia ora, I don't have any lollies here.
And,
Nothing?
Yeah.
And Chris, if you hop into Paula's mic, we're doing a bit of a shift. Matariki. So can you give us a bit of a rundown on some of the visual arts things that we get to see in Auckland, and why has the council decided to invest in these arts events more? What's the background?
Well, the festival has had quite a long history. The council did rebrand the festival about 3 years ago, which is pretty exciting. I'm holding here this swanky program.
Ooh.
It's the biggest Ooh, format that there's been for a little while. They've been sort of half this size.
Yeah.
So I'm holding this nice matte printed.
It's almost equal to the film festival program, the New Zealand National
Why,
Film
thank
Festival.
You.
It's looking pretty swank.
Kia ora, we'll take
sure,
that one.
Yeah.
Yes, and on the cover is a beautiful carved po.
Mm.
It's quite significant that this po changes out every year. So this is the third year that this kind of branding has been in place, this custom typeface. So this po changes out every year, and the reason it changes out every year is that it's connected to a different iwi. So the kaupapa at the moment with Matariki Festival is that it's kind of like the stars in transit. The first year we had Ngāti Manuhiri, who were the host iwi. Last year, I beg your pardon, I'm sorry, is that right? Ngāti Pāua were the first year, Ngāti Marihiri were the second year, and this year, the iwi that's holding the torch is Te Kawarau Amaki. So this po that's on the cover of the 2018 festival. Yes, a buzz.
Mm.
It's creating something of a buzz.
It is, isn't it? You can hear it. You can hear that buzz going.
No way,
it's a very, something electronic is buzzing across. If you hear that, I think it's probably just the lightning strikes that are going on outside. So if we suddenly disappear off air, you know why the antenna has been hit.
You know who to thank.
We know who to thank, yeah. Who, Chris?
Rangi.
Yeah.
Big guy in the sky.
Big guy in the sky. Papa. Okay. So what... Yep.
That was a long ramble to say that the host iwi this year is Te Kawarau Amaki, and that's a great place to start, because yesterday was the launch of the festival and it was all happening out west in the Waitakere. So they had a mass haka, they had a dawn karakia, and it all went off with a beautiful clear sky for dawn. The
was
fog rolled in actually slightly later. Yes, it was at Arataki.
Okay.
Yep, way out west. And so Te Kawarau Amaki, obviously the Arohi is in large parts of Auckland actually, but most definitely out west. Mm. So there's lots of events happening out west. Te Uru have got a fantastic show of taonga from Te Kawarau Aumaki, so that's a pretty exciting one to be able to drop into.
And so are you curating? What's your role in all this?
I'm called a senior program leader. Wow. My colleague Atahua Papa is the festival director, if you like. She's senior, she's called program leader Māori.
Right.
She's the Māori programmer.
Okay.
She's a fantastic lady, and she's really spearheaded a lot of the work in this in the festival. She does a huge amount. So she was at full in force at Arataki yesterday. I wasn't in force at Arataki yesterday. I was at an event in Mangere, which is where I work. So I look after the program at Mangere Arts Centre.
Okay.
And also over in Glen Innes at Te Oro. And I look after a team of people that deliver visual arts across mostly South Auckland. So, so that's kind of my role, I suppose. And Atta has really spearheaded the initiative with Te Kawarau Aumaki and is holding the relationships there. So she's been intimately involved in the show that is happening at Te Uru, which is called Ngā Tohu o Te Kawarau Aumaki, The People, Their Stories and Treasures.
Wow.
Cool.
So it's a cross Auckland thing then. So all the teams who work in different areas of Auckland are coming together to support the big festival, is it?
Absolutely. I think there's kind of no bigger kaupapa in a way than, you know, the stars. Mm. The things that guide us. There's definitely a push to get people singing off the same song sheet and to celebrate what is a really unique festival. It's unique to us. It's the biggest winter festival and it's the biggest Indigenous festival. Yeah.
Aotearoa, of course. Is it happening through the... Do you know of other events happening through the country? There's lots of Matariki events happening through the country.
People celebrate Matariki at different times. So where I come from in Taranaki, they actually follow a group of stars called Puanga, and they started celebrations a little while ago. But this festival, Matariki Festival in Auckland, takes its lead from the stars, so it's when the stars appear for us. And we have a beautiful kaumātua who guides us in that way. Who's
Kuai Tera, who's that?
Reriata.
Oh, lovely.
Do you know him? He's awesome.
Reriata Makiha.
I don't know his last name. I've always known him as Reriata.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, he's very knowledgeable about cosmology. Yep. So and astronomy. So yes, he sets the dates. Well, there's a bunch of conversations that happen and swirl around, and out of those conversations come some dates for the festival. Mm. And yeah, so Auckland takes its lead from the stars.
Oh. And there are some stars in our studio this evening.
Hey all.
Stars of the chair.
Absolutely.
It's got two chairs.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he turu mai and the chairs, which is the same, which is the chairs, but.
In te reo
Māori.
So I understand you're doing it in four languages, te reo,
Samoan,
Pākehā, and
Cantonese.
Mm. And so is that just a question? So it's about the focus of it, because I was aware of some conversation with the focus of it. It's not just a translation. It's a complete perspective.
Yeah, it's a complete social lens, cultural lens. Sorry,
yep.
Over it. So I'm involved in the Pākehā version in Kuia over here.
Pākehā. Te te mea Māori, ne?
Kāpai, part of the Te Reo Māori team. Yeah, so it's 4 weeks of the same play, and each week done by a different company in a different language.
Wow. How long have you been working on this for?
The whole project has been in the works for a year now. A whole year, and we've just started. I started 2 weeks ago rehearsing. Te Reo Māori started this week.
This week,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So, hey, here we are.
And so this is a work by Enesco.
Yes.
Enesco.
Eugene.
Enesco.
Old
and it's absurd. Genie. It's absurd theatre, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I think it's very. Yeah. It's very absurd.
Yeah. Give us a little premise.
Oh, hello there, Captain. Momo Fakari, ne?
Kapai.
Are they fighting? Ia or te nuinga o ngā momo. Whakaeri me ngā pūraka, ka peka ki kone, ka peka ki korā, ki wewe, ki wāwa, ka tahi ka kore mo te tahi atu mea pā. Pēnei te uira ki waho rā te ua, ka tahi ka hoki ki te kōrero mo te tīha te mauana koe, aua pīra. Mahi ai te reo virirangi tēnei, engari ka wea me hopu pikiti hoki kia ki te ai rātau i te kōrero a tinana.
Ka pai.
Ai.
So for those of you whose knowledge of te reo Māori is about my level, it is about an old couple, a 95-year-old man and a 94-year-old woman who the old man has been working all his life on this discovery that he's made that's going to change the world, and he's really excited about it. And he's been working in isolation in this house with just this old woman as his companion for years and years and years and years. And it's time for him to reveal his groundbreaking discovery. So he invites everyone. He invites the emperor, blah 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 blah, all these people to come and listen to his discovery. But he doesn't explain himself very well. So he's hired a professional orator to come, and he's told the message to the orator, and the orator's going to show up and speak the message to everyone. And as the show goes on, the doorbell goes and they start letting in guests, but the guests aren't there. They cannot be seen. They're either invisible, or they're figments of imagination, or you know, whatever. So eventually, So as the show goes on, the stage slowly fills up with more and more chairs as more and more invisible
people arrive,
and I won't give the ending away, but
invisible, ki te au ia rata, ki te au. I see them.
Queer sees them. Different. It's going to be interesting seeing the different takes,
the different lenses,
the lenses on something that's nonsensical anyway.
Mm.
So the it's so absurd that the words don't really matter. So you're not going to sit, if you go to Te Reo Māori, you go to Cantonese, you go to Samoan, and you don't speak that language, you don't have to sit there and be like, oh, I don't know what's going on, because even if you come to Pākehā, you're not really going to know what's going on anyway. So it's about bringing the these different cultural lenses forward into the world view.
Ah, e whakaata i tatatau ao ni ka ki a Ionescu te kaitito. Ini me atu ia, well, āhua se tonu tātou i rato i tēnei ao ne, te haere ki te mahi, mai te iwa ki te rima, ia rā, wera momo mea, he tino, oh, you know, the way we live our lives these days, chasing things 9 to 5, we could say that's absurd.
Mm. Yes.
I think that's one of the, mea, I kōrero ana te mea.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So the absurdity is in chasing the dream?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be different. It's a different perspective on each show. But what I think is really cool is that, Te Reo Māori and Cantonese and Samoan are classified as diverse, which is kind of silly. So that means that Pākehā is seen as the norm, which is what we're trying to break. We're trying to get these three languages, or Pākehā, to sit with these three languages as equals, and to bring all these voices together out to the public.
Mohi o ai ki tāna te me tētahi rangi i ki te au hasi in tētahi bookstore, te reo te ngā puka puka Māori in the foreign language section.
Oh, really?
Aye.
In the foreign language section?
Āna. Ki rato i wiko tētahi wā.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Given that it's an official language of the country.
Yeah.
One of three.
And three, out of three.
Out of three.
Sign language as well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been interesting to see it in sign.
Yeah, yeah, that's something we haven't quite
grasped,
got to yet. Yeah. But, you know, it might be in the works, I don't know.
I know a couple of actors who are learning sign so they can bring that kaupapa to theatre as well.
Yeah.
As a norm, as one of the languages.
Yeah, as a norm, so. Yeah.
I think the more you understand the hakot te rā ringa.
Oh, does she signs? I didn't know that. It's an interesting shift, isn't it? I mean, we've had playwrights in here of iwi descent who come in and they talk about being pegged as Māori playwrights, and they actually aren't. They're just playwrights as opposed to Māori playwrights. They're playwrights from Aotearoa.
Absolutely.
And people expect that they're going to write Māori plays, Arawa wrote a play about the 1940s. Cabaret, and he said people couldn't understand why he was writing it because it wasn't Māori.
It wasn't Māori. What?
But I mean, writers don't always write about what they know.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't go to a theatre show done by Pākehā and go, oh, that was a really great Pākehā play. You'd just be like, that was a great play.
Yeah.
So why do we need to put these other things into those boxes?
It's all about lens, I suppose. Is that Matariki, the focus on Matariki being... being a festival like this, is, do you think it's shifting attitudes? People are, because I did see some horrible comments around people say we should have a holiday on Matariki, and people going, oh, we don't need a Matariki holiday, we've got, you know, Queen's birthday weekend, that sort of stuff. People who listen to a certain other radio station, which is, I won't mention ones it'd be, and do you think there are some changes in attitude? Have you seen any changes in theatre or in art, visual arts? And
towards Matariki? I'd like to think so.
Towards just the whole attitude of Māori arts being more part of what we do as opposed to an exception.
Mm. All right. I think people, and you know, in koe roe tahi tangate noa ni Aotearoa ni, nā reira kei te whai I ngā taura hei here I a rātou anō ki tēnei wāhi te people looking for reasons, you know, because some of these dates and... mea, they don't match up with the seasons down here.
No. And that is, it's interesting, isn't it? Because we've imported a whole lot of holidays, like Guy Fawkes.
Halloween. The Harvest Festival.
Which is at the wrong time of the year. I know, because they hold it in spring up in the Northern Hemisphere, that's right.
No.
They've managed to move Father's Day, why can't they move Halloween as well? But do we need Halloween? That's the question.
I've never celebrated Halloween. No. I've never been trick-or-treating.
One of the things we talk about quite a lot is Maramataka, the Māori calendar. So there's a big temptation if you're doing a project that includes Māori or has Māori themes, it's a big temptation to go, oh, yeah, well, that belongs in Matariki, which is not really the case. I think there is a bigger acceptance now that Māori programming can happen at any time.
Mm.
Waitangi is another, it's a temptation to call that a kind of Māori celebration. It's not.
It's a treaty celebration.
It's actually two people that came together at a particular point in time. So it's not a Māori thing. It's actually very much a New Zealand thing. And I think there's nuances to those understandings that are really beginning to come forth.
Mm.
The idea that Waitangi wasn't just signed on one day, it was signed over a period of 6 months in a whole bunch of different locations around New Zealand. So, yeah, those nuances are there. And the more we talk about them.
But there's a nuance called the commemoration me te celebration. Commemoration, celebration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've actually prompted me to think about another thing that's in the festival as well, a project that's happening in Māngere. It hasn't opened yet. It opens this coming Saturday. No, it doesn't. It opens on the 14th of July. So
you're a week ahead of yourself.
Busy time. And the reason I mentioned that show is because it's a coming together of three big themes. It commemorates the 160th anniversary of Kingitanga and celebrates Matariki. There are seven women that are celebrated in that exhibition. They're all rangatira of wahine rangatira of Tainui. And so the third theme that brings, so the seven women obviously indicate our seven stars of Matariki, but the women, the focus on women is also commemorating the 125th anniversary of women's suffrage. So there's three really big, beautiful kaupapa that come together in that one exhibition. So, yeah, that's another thing to commemorate that the Kingitanga anniversary, which is a significant moment in the Māori calendar as well.
Have you been to Wellington and seen the suffrage
I have.
Petition?
I have.
Alongside Te Tiritia Waitangi and the Declaration of Independence?
I have, actually.
Yeah. It's quite amazing to see, isn't it?
It's very moving.
Yeah.
It's very beautifully presented. It's very dark. Mm. Go into this cave-like space.
I know. It is dark. But I suppose that's to protect the tonga, isn't it?
Cause that's incredible. Those originals are sitting there.
What was nice is to see this, the seven facsimiles of Te Tiriti, and just read the words over and over again, that they're the same when people say they're different, and they're the same words, the same words, the same words. Just a little bit of different handwriting there. It's lovely to see. Have you been down to Wellington and seen them?
Carl.
They moved them. And I remember, actually, when they moved to Tiriti there was something in the paper. They were going to spend $1 million building this purpose room, and people jumped up and down about that.
What?
They jumped up and down because they were spending $1 million protecting those documents.
Wow.
Yeah. It's at the National Library, to answer your question. It's really easy to find and access. It's on the ground floor, so you just bowl right in and you kind of almost get guided into this space. And you've prompted me about another thing that I'm very passionate about, back to the Treaty of Waitangi, but, you know, what would it look like if New Zealanders actually made those signing sites a place of pilgrimage?
Mm.
Some of those sites are actually very little known. They're just kind of places in a paddock somewhere that are really only known by oral tradition. And, you know, what if it was our coming of age thing in New Zealand, if it wasn't really... You weren't really coming of age until you had made a pilgrimage to your local signing
cool.
site.
That'd be really cool.
So there's something. There's an ambition for the future.
Gosh.
Kalakabai ni koni.
Aye.
Kalakabai.
Aye. Haina tia e tai I te treaty, aye.
Aye. There were signings in the Manukau. Yep. They didn't sign it in Taranaki. They didn't go there.
No. Well, it was a signing around the coast too, mainly, wasn't it? Because it was it was taken on the boats with the traders and rather the coast rather than inland as well, which this is a fascinating subject.
We're digressing somewhat.
We are, somewhat.
But can I do a shameless plug?
You can do. Well, we've got shameless plugs all the way through, so go ahead.
Awesome. So I alluded to the fact that I look after the space at Mangere Art Centre, Ngā Tohu o Ōnuki, and on Saturday we launched a project with Nicole Lim. She's not a Māori artist, but she's done this beautiful project at Tararata Stream. So I'm holding up this blue denim tote bag. She made this illustration. At the bottom of the illustration you can see a whole lot of inanga. So what's known about the stream is that it's a inanga spawning site. It's in a very, very sad way, that stream. So there's been this group that have been looking after the stream, and Nicole has kind of collaborated with this Tararata Stream team. And this is one of the projects that's launching for Matariki at Mangere Art Centre, along with the one I mentioned before about He Toa He Wahine.
So how do you get into that? What's your background? Are you in events or arts, or are you a visual artist yourself?
No, I'm not a visual arts artist myself. I'm a curator, I suppose, by training. So, yeah, I've worked in this sector since I left university, on and off.
What drew you into it?
I get to work with cool artists. I've always been, I suppose, a bit of a thinker.
So at school, were you interested in that area? Was it
art? I went to university to study aesthetics, of all things. Philosophy. I've got a degree in philosophy, and somehow I managed to get a job as a curator.
Aesthetics?
Yeah.
How does that... Does that just... How things feel? Look?
The theory, I suppose, of how things look, yeah. Yeah.
Gosh, it's amazing what degrees are available nowadays, isn't it?
It's a very old discipline.
I'm sure. Design, and it's around design and stuff, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah.
And and how long have you been at Mangere for, Mangere Art Centre?
I've been looking after the program there for about 2.5 years. Yeah, I work very closely with one of my colleagues, Anna Ray. So she's actually the spearhead of this particular project with Nicole Lim, the tote bags. Nicole's done three other little illustrations that sit alongside. There's one of the inanga themselves. There's a ball of eels, tuna, and that's the the image that actually sparked the whole conversation. And then there's one of a bunch of reef herons under Te Koka, some cabbage trees. So yeah, it's a nice little project. You can buy the tote bags, you can support the work that's happening in the stream there. The alignment with Matariki is around Tao, the looking after the environment. So there was a big stream planting that happened yesterday. They put 1,200 mahoi, karamu and manuka trees.
1,200?
Yep.
Wow.
And it's a really gritty urban stream, so it's wonderful to be able to sort of celebrate and beautify, I suppose, to borrow a term from aesthetics. but also to enhance the Māori of the stream, bring some life back into the stream.
Yeah.
Tino Pai Valerie Adams did the aesthetics, me.
Valerie Adams?
Yeah. Did she really?
Aesthetics.
She studied it.
Athletics.
Athletics.
Classic.
Oh, I like that.
There's a bit of slippage there.
How's the journey been? That was very funny. How's the journey been for you two working on this project? Is it because it's? Are you working on it full time?
Yeah. Very full time.
Yeah. So what's your role, Chris?
I'm playing the old man in the Pākehā version.
Because you look 92.
Yeah, I know. I look good for my age. I'm actually 100 and... I don't know, that joke ran off, but...
Yeah. didn't work. Let go. Let Antonio do the jokes, okay?
Yeah. It's really, really interesting taking... Because the original play was written in French and then it was translated into English. And we are not just doing the English version, we've translated it to specifically New Zealand, Pākehā.
Can you give an example of how you've done that? What's the lens? How does that lens change?
It was really difficult to kind of grasp. The Pākehā-ness. A lot of what we discussed when we first came together to talk about it was coming from a negative angle, for obvious reasons, but we decided that we didn't want to do that. We would poke fun at that, but we wanted to find what makes Pākehā special and a good part of this country as well. Because Pākehā only exists as a counterpoint to Māori, as like a yin and yang kind of thing. So like no other white person in the world is classed as Pākehā. So that's kind of special in itself, really. Like we're the only Pākehā in the world.
Oh, tino rangatiratanga mō ngā Pākehā, nē, whai anakata.
Yeah, so I mean that was a good starting point. And trying to find things to be proud of being Pākehā was really interesting. And we're kind of going down that... so for example we're looking at it from a very old Pākehā, very well-meaning kind of and trying to embrace this culture that's around them, but kind of being so old and so Pākehā, they kind of, their heart's in the right place but they kind of get it wrong every now, like you know how an older Pākehā person might be around Māori and they'll be like, oh, why don't we go and have a kai? And they're really proud about, you know, using a Māori word. Their heart's so in the right place and it's kind of a funny, cute, I guess, thing. So that's an example of small Pākehā-isms that we have going on in the play. There's lots more, but I don't want to give that away because...
And that's recent that people have been using Te Reo Māori freely. Absolutely. As, you know, interchanging with Te Reo Pākehā and Te Reo Māori. Because, I mean, you think 15 years ago, well, actually, I think 5 years ago, TV3, they were doing the weather during Māori Language Week because we couldn't have Māori Language Month because John Key thought that was just too long. Mm. But they did all the place names in Te Reo Māori, you know, their actual names, and people got upset about it again.
Yeah,
Tauranga.
And that's one of the main things we looked at.
Where's what, sorry?
Where's Tauranga?
Yeah.
Tauranga, yeah.
Oh, you mean Tauranga?
Next to Taupo. Yeah. That's one of the things we looked at is that big uprising now of young Pākehā taking it upon themselves to embrace that. And that's another view we've been looking at.
Because it's funny you talk about looking at Pākehā culture, and I think one of the reasons, this is just a personal opinion, but I think one of the reasons that Pākehā have struggled with their culture is they're so immersed into it every day because we're pretty much a monocultural country.
Absolutely.
That they don't see they've actually got a culture.
Absolutely.
Because it's everything they breathe.
And that's the point of putting on a Pākehā show, when people are like, oh, well, why would you do that? No. And that's exactly it, yeah.
Have you had similar journey through with Te Reo Māori?
Aye, nā te mea I, aye, I koe whāngai mai te whakāri nei, koe adapted nei, ka tū te whakāri nei ki mua I te whare nei, so we can, you can hakaram hara mai and you can see it in front of the whare nei, the marae. Nā reira he momo pauaka te rā ne he rā te rā kupu cultural lens framework ne rata I cultural framework ne
yeah.
Nā te mea he ture tō wērā mea, he tikanga, he kawa, he maha I rā tū momo mea, te unspoken te kutu Pākehā mo te tikanga no.
Tikanga
etiquette,
yeah. It's hard, isn't it, to I struggle. I'm a learner of Te Reo Māori. I'm not very proficient, but trying to translate words, so just translating, just trying to the concept of one language into another. I do some workshops around some of this stuff sometimes, and there was cultural workshops, and there was somebody talking about the treaty being translated and back in that. Somebody had said to me that if you translate The Grapes of Wrath, the book by John Steinbeck, classic American literature, into Japanese and then back into Te Reo Pākehā, you end up with the angry raisin. So, you know, those concepts around... That was a challenge? Because, I mean, the French to English, the French to Te Reo Māori, was it French, English, Te Reo?
I think it te na anipiki tuari, whaka Māori, anipiki tuari, te mea I whaka Māori te te Pākehā. And kare au te moe o me kōrero wīwī ane ia. Don't think she's kōrero French. So she whaka Māori te mai te Pākehā no from the English. Engari ko te mea Cantonese, kōrero hoki ia I te reo wīwī ne. He kōrero is Cantonese, English, French, nā reira I.
Oh, wow.
I tōtika mai i te reo wīwī ki te reo Cantonese. Engari he, me tētahi atu me rere ke he reo rere, he reo rārangi, te kupu, te reo Māori anyway, and e hare ia kupu engari ko te whakaro nei ne, ko te concept, i kōrero tia nei e koe, concept translation.
I couldn't even imagine trying to translate a cultural lens, not just the words, but culturally translate a play. If you think what they were talking about, The Changeling, that Paula reviewed, which was very much immersed in Jacobean times, which had has its own specific cultural lens, and then trying to translate that into another cultural lens would be quite difficult. That's why it's a fascinating project. I'm really fascinated by what you're doing, and my goodness, who initiated the project? Was that Te Pō? At Te Pō, was that where it came out of?
Te Pō Tirihia Theatre Company, spearheaded by Amber Kareen and Tainui Tokuwaho. They came up with the idea and they pitched it, and CNZ? Foundation North. CNZ and Foundation North, they went, yep, we want to back this. So
great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Tino. That's
awesome. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to give you a little break. We play a little bit of music just so you can have a breath.
Okay.
There's I put Matariki into Spotify.
Oh.
And there's a whole lot of songs. Tena Mortara and Karina Blythe.
I want to hear Swordfish Trombone. What is that?
What?
Tom Waits. Swordfish Trombone on the screen.
That's a Tom Waits album.
Can you see that far?
Gosh, that's pretty good. But I'm going to play Matariki. It's called Matariki. It's the first one that came up. So
do that.
Forgive me if it's not any good, because I'm not really sure what it is. So, and then we'll come back and we'll talk further about these fascinating projects and some more. I want to hear what else I can go and do for Matariki. It would be really great. Without having to read the whole program. Hare Matariki. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you can all hear this, but I'm hearing a terrible buzz through my headphones, and I've been trying to isolate what it is, so I apologise to our listeners. I've figured out, I've pushed buttons, I've turned dials, and it just doesn't, your pet bee.
Yeah, it's on a little string.
It's a bass bee.
Can you stop bringing the bee, please?
Stop bringing the bee in.
Yeah. So, Antonio. You've come dressed for the occasion. Could you talk a little bit about the context of what you're wearing?
Oh, And here wearing my headscarf, ka te mea koe te kuia I roto I te whakaari. E ko pania taku, ko taku kanohi, and mau e kōrero, mau rāne. Yeah, tau I ki te ai, what you see, because for me this is, you know, this is me. Tēne.
Yep.
So you're
wearing a headscarf and a beautifully carved facial mask.
I can't stop looking at you.
No, it's so just beautiful. Amazing.
And I keep making myself look away because I'm like, I've got to be present in the room, but it's just stunning.
So you're playing the kuia and the old woman in the Te Reo version.
Ko ai te kuia.
Yeah.
Tino teitei au ne. Tino teitei. Very, very tall.
Mm. Yep.
And ko taku tāne ko amber. He tino poto ia ne.
Koroa's short. Yeah.
Aye.
Koro.
Aye. Does that make for some... Is that a deliberate casting choice?
Aesthetic-wise.
Yeah. There's that aesthetic word again. Or athletics.
Yeah.
Is it a physical piece, speaking of athletics?
Very much, yeah. It's very physical, comedy, because a lot of the words don't really
matter.
Make sense. So it's got to be... Well, in my version, at least, I haven't seen too much of Te Reo Māori, version yet, but our words don't make a lot of sense, so words, yeah, very physical.
Is your wahine also very tall?
My wahine is played by a bearded man named Jake Love, who is about the same height as me. I'm average height, so just maybe slightly shorter. Yeah. So we're about the right kissing height. Yeah.
I'm just fascinated by the casting choices, the deliberate choices around.
Yeah,
because you're about 30, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and how old's
Jake's? I think he's 25.
Okay.
Yeah.
Paying 90-year-olds, you finding that difficult? And you got two. Yeah. So you've broken the gender stereotype as well. With it? It's not old man, old woman. Is he playing the old woman? Or?
He is playing the old woman, but we looked at it as like typical white dude casting two white men for a role. For you know,
so there's
like,
another you know, underlying
like
message.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like messaging. A little kind of tongue-in-cheek, kind of typical. What was your question? Oh, is it physical on our bodies?
Like, we moved on for the physical thing.
No, the
casting.
Is it hard playing an old person?
Stay with us.
Okay, I'll just.
Is it hard playing someone who's 95? What do you have to do to try and?
Yeah, my neck and my lower back are killing me.
Because. Are you physicality?
Yeah, kind of hunched over, and I got like the.
He's doing a face, people.
Yeah,
he's doing a face.
But like the face and the jaw.
You need a mask. That mask is just beautiful.
I'm jealous of the mask.
Yeah. I want to touch it.
is the mask part of? Has it been made specifically for the piece?
Tēnei wā hanga. Yeah, ko tāpiri tēnei kauai nei ki te kanohi nei. Taku kauai ne, that's it. Engari, konei tēnei mua ne. Tēnei mā. Mārama. Ai, tēnei. This one.
That the chin piece is
specifically
specific for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. For play. Well, the moko is carved specifically for the play.
Taku moko kauai, ai.
And so does your husband, your koro, have the mask as well? And that's been carved specifically for the piece?
I think, did they source that one from Korea? No, I'm not entirely sure.
I think it's Solo Othello there.
Solo Othello.
Solo Othello.
From Regan's piece. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I was just going to say that was when he first launched that. Gosh, it's years ago now, isn't it? He came and talked about his masks and having them built specifically for that, and they're fascinating, fascinating mask work. Is it difficult to perform with the mask on?
Okay, te ako tonu ai tini ahutanga still learning.
Yeah.
Te mau pai kia pai te kite anga kaima takitaki.
Your vision.
Vision, and so it's pai more the audience. E tahi wā mea ka titiro ai ki ake. Sometimes I'm looking like I'm looking at you, but I don't actually go as far as seeing you. As it gets a bit boring, guitar gets a boring on the side. So te titiro ki ake, I'm pine ki ake. Just have a little look in that direction. Yeah. So you know, they don't turn around and audience.
Have you seen the Samoan version or the Pākehā version or the
Kāre anō? Not yet.
No?
I've seen snippets of Te Reo Māori's, but I don't think these guys have seen any part of ours yet.
So if you've seen a snippet of theirs, it's not I'll show you mine if you show me yours kind of scenario going on. Yeah. Is there any similarities, do you think? Apart from the script, which is the same script.
I'll say that it's amazing. It's amazing the drastic changes that a different cultural lens can bring.
Aye.
It's incredible. Mm-hmm. Just a different setting, a different approach to the themes in the show is pretty.
Do you know where one of the biggest Shakespeare festivals in the world exists?
No. Where?
Japan.
True.
Yep. They're big fans of Japan, big fans of Shakespeare, and they have a massive big Shakespearean festival. But with that Japanese lens on Shakespeare's pieces, which culturally is quite different, with the structure of family, and that's quite different.
Absolutely, and how death is a theme in this piece because of the age of these two people and the way that Māori approach death is completely different to how Pākehā and even that small detail changes their piece drastically because there's obviously heaps of those kind of examples where the cultural lens just
speaking of death in that sense, that cultural lens, do I understand it right, and I may be wrong, but I'm going to ask, Matariki, the stars are people who have passed, is that, or does that depend on where you come from? Because
who wants to take that question?
I think Chris should, actually.
Why?
But, I'm just trying to think where I read that, because I read it in the last couple of days.
I think that Matariki is a time to look backwards as much as forwards. It's a time of reflection, the year that has passed, and also for all of the people that have passed. So yes, to that extent, it's absolutely true. So yes, it's a new year. It's that moment where you go, oh, that year was hard work, or oh my goodness, all those amazing things happened this year.
Yeah.
But also, as I say, to look forward, which speaks very much to the idea of walking backwards into your future. So yes.
Which is a concept of in tikanga Māori, isn't it? Te ao Māori, that walking backwards, looking forward, whereas in Pākehā culture, it's like you're trying to forget the past. So let's move on.
Yeah.
How many times? Yeah, it's good, just I just want to move on.
It's a lovely idea. It speaks to that whole cultural lens thing that you were just talking about, where if your past is laid out in front of you, that's the known territory, and the future is the bit that's unknown, and that's what's behind you.
I just remember where, in a very tragic circumstance, I know where I read it, was the auntie of the young girl who died in that horrible crash in Waverley last week, talking about that the two children have gone up to up to be stars in Matariki, and that's where I saw it. So that was a tragedy, absolute tragedy.
Ko whetūrangi here, it's a kōrero, a kōrero for somebody who's passed away. They've
become a star.
Mm. So what are some other events around family? I don't want to say adult events because that sounds dodgy. You know, the evening events, there's theatre.
Yeah, there's a huge variety. Yeah. Even in the visual arts section alone, there's 28 exhibitions listed, or visual arts activities. If you haven't ever been to Manuota Kite Day, it is a fantastic family-friendly all-ages event. It's grown. It used to be held only at Orake, Takaparawhau, the marae up there at Bastion Point. But it's grown. It's enthusiastically grown. And it's now being held at Puketapapa as well. Puketapapa. Aroha mai. And Manurewa. It's beautiful that it comes to Manurewa because Manu, the birds, is in their name. The story of the kites Manuotu is also part of the story of that marae, as I understand it. So yeah, if you haven't ever been to Manuotu Kite Day, it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Rain, hail or shine. These massive manu, these kites, are flying. Some of them are quite spectacular.
They're amazing.
Giant whales and octopuses and just, amazing things. As well as your very own kites, very simple ones. You can make kites on the day.
Cool.
So, you can create your own. And there's inevitably lots of mud. So,
Love mud.
Yeah, well, if it's your first time, don't make the mistake of taking your good shoes. Mm. Just wear your gumboots.
Don't wear your heels, Chris, is what she's saying.
Stilettos, leave it alone.
Yeah, although they might give you a little bit of stability because you could dig your heels in.
Could do.
You might never get your heels out.
Hei whāki ko madareki ke me. That's a pun.
Nice one.
So the mud... Is there anything around the mud? Do you do anything? Is there like a mud thing?
There's another festival. Can be quite muddy. It's also a great all-ages event. It's held in GI, or Glen Innes. And it's called Te Ararama, Matariki Light Trail. So it's where there's a whole bunch of lights installed in Mayberry Reserve. You can enter it off Line Road. Anyway, there's lots and lots of lights installed in the park, and there's a light trail. Light is a big theme of the festival, actually, this year. I'll come back to that idea of the light theme. But, Te Ararama, there's live music performances, there's a community stage. It's, can be very muddy.
Yeah.
It invariably rains during Matariki Festival at some point or other. If it's not raining, it's blowing. But that's just an opportunity.
It is winter.
Yeah, to get your glad rags on.
Absolutely.
Dress up warmly.
Yeah.
Get amongst it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lay your plans out for the year. Remember those that have passed.
Yeah.
So, yes, those are probably two really fantastic highlights that you can easily achieve. The Te Ararama Light Trail is on for a whole week, so you can rock up on the finest night that you can in the middle of July in the school holidays. And there's fireworks on the last night, so if you're super keen, you can dive into that. It's fantastic. So just going back to that idea of the light theme, you can come across a bunch of buildings lit up. Even our Auckland Harbour Bridge will be lit up on Friday and Saturday nights during Matariki. So this is really the colour that you might see around the place. Auckland Museum are going to light up their building. Te Oro and Glen Innes are going to light up their building. It's a beautiful orangey, yellowy, glowing colour, amber colour. And I understand that the significance of that colour is the sunrise, the dawn sunrise, the light that you will see if you're up at dawn during Matariki. It's pretty nice.
I like to be, during Matariki, I have to confess, I don't like being up at dawn because it's cold.
It's really easy to be up at dawn in the middle of winter.
Yeah, that's
Try
true.
Try doing it in the middle of summer, it's not quite so
no,
nice.
Yeah, that's right, because the middle of winter dawn's about 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I didn't notice
o'clock,
it was still,
that's comfortable.
It was still dark at 7:15 this morning, I noticed that. But we've been past the longest day.
The shortest day.
The shortest day.
Yes, we have.
It felt
now
like
we're
the
looking
longest
forward
day.
To the longest day.
Looked like that. It felt like the longest day. It was cold. Oh, my goodness me. The lights... Light is a theme for that. Who decides on the theme for the festival? Does that come down? Is there a team of you that sit down and go, what are we going to do? What's significant? Does it go back to the iwi, the host, or to decide?
Well, I think that the light theme is something that's really grown in and of itself, and it's, in some ways it's about letting the light in at that darkest time of year. So I don't know that it's necessarily something that someone dreamed up. It's more the idea of capitalising on a bunch of wonderful things that are already happening and bringing them together and showing strength. So Te Ararama, the Matariki Light Trail, has been happening for a number of years already, and it's a beautiful event. It's really family friendly, as I mentioned. And the idea of lighting up the Auckland Harbour Bridge has been around for a little while. It's just taken a bit of time to manifest. The previous year, we worked on lighting up the pink cycle path.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
It's beautiful anyway, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it is. Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of something that's just kind of grown, and it's something that we've been able to bring together and... Sorry, lots of terrible metaphors all loaded on at once, but shine a light on it.
Ooh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Beautiful.
Mai ngā kōrero ki nē, from taken from the old stories. It was all about sending things up, acknowledgement, light, manu au te kites, special hāngi, harai te te hangi kai, engari he hangi mihi, mihi pea, momo mihi.
Aye.
Yeah, nā ko aku, aku tamariki, mātou ko aku tamariki, we used to go to the top of very high cliff, and we make a lot of darts, and we stand on the top of the cliff, and the thermal's coming up, and we say everybody's name who we know who's passed away in that last year. And we throw the dart out for that person. And e tahi wā, ka rere taua dart i rato i ngā thermals mō ngā miniti rima, te kau miniti pia. Five, 10 minutes, some darts stay up in the air, and it'd be like, oh, that's so-and-so's one dear. And then ka whiu atu te tahi atu dart. Mātaku aku tamariki koira. That's my, me and my children, one of our ones we used to do. Yeah.
Wow.
Little, just paper darts, nā te mea ka break down, so kia tau, koto, ngā kaitiaki tai au. Nō te rākau, and nā ka hoki ki te whenua, it doesn't pollute, it's just paper, you know. It's all right. Yeah. Calm down, kia tau.
Keep calm and throw a paper dart. I see also, speaking of Kai, there is... some food events. There's Gourmet Hangi, the Tasting Shed. Gourmet Hangi with Ben Bailey, with Chef Juan, Waitai and Kai.
Kwa rongo kwe mo te diversity ko te changi.
Changi.
Changi. Ka tune kai roto i te tahi wok, and then ka whakaki i te tahi muslin cloth with te soil, hei taupoki, a lid. And ka puru a ki runga. Let's put it on top of the wok. Yeah.
And you have a hangi.
A bicultural.
Yeah, a couple of years ago we had a play on the festival that was Mooncake and Kumara. Played into the market garden's tradition with Chinese, but also Māori, Kai.
Wow. There's, and the Punakai, all over places, restaurants, Te Korakora on Federal, I assume that's Federal Street.
Yes, it is. Spectacular.
Yeah. And Matariki Wild Thing Kai Time in Titirangi this Tuesday week.
Yes, that's at Arataki.
At Arataki?
Yep.
And so is that, you can go and have a kai up there? Is that what it's all about?
Yep, preparing their feast.
Yeah, suitable for children, ages 7 to 12.
Yep, 7 to 12.
So it's from 9 till 3. So this one's just caught my eye, you see.
It's not a free one, though.
No, it is $45. But on the edge of the forest, Tamariki will spend a full day learning how to forage, harvest and cook edible native plants. Children will have a great time together preparing their feast while also cultivating deep and meaningful connections to the Taiao, can I say that correctly? Natural environment. That's a natural environment. Activities include traditional flax weaving, harakiki, plant identification and cooking. Bring suitable outdoor gear because it might be muddy.
Foraging.
That sounds amazing.
That sounds so... How old does a...
You're too young.
Child is...
You're too old.
Oh, damn.
You're 97.
Bring your inner child.
Bring your inner child, yeah.
I might have a ticket. I'd sell you for $40.
yeah. But that, I mean, that's just a couple of... I've just opened the website, so it's just Martha... Just Google. I just Googled Martha Leakey Festival and bang, it's all there. There's, you know, it says there's community, food, film, lectures, theatre, visual arts, environmental, workshops and performances.
Yep.
So there's just so much to do.
Aye.
What's your pick? What are you going to not miss in the Martha Leakey Festival?
Well, Federal on Korakora on Federal, let's get it in the right order, was a particular highlight last year. I'd put my money on that.
Yeah.
Like I said, if you haven't been to Manawatu to Kite Day, it is definitely a must-do.
And cheers, yeah.
Yep. And yes, I do have to shamelessly plug yet again Te Ararama, the Matariki Light Trail on Green Innes. Yeah, there's nothing like that kind of full immersion local environment.
And Tahi Atu Tai Day had like poets and dancers and drummers and
The program singers. Out there has been pulled together by Jason Takare.
Oh.
So yeah, okay. He's a local boy out there, and it will be a strongly local performance.
Mm.
Yeah,
I was just looking at the Te Korokoro on Federal. Friday the 20th of July from 5 till 10, it's 18 plus, and it's free, and local music, Annie Crummer, Shefu, Rio Hall, Tawararoa, Kawana, Waxed Crew Collective, and more.
Yeah.
Do you know, when I was a child, I don't know if, I heard, there used to be these TV ads for albums from KTEL and things like that, and they were collections of music, and it would say, and on this album there's this musician and many, many more. And I used to think when I was a child for a while that many, many more was a band, and I thought they were really popular because they were on every album that KTEL brought out, was many, many more. It was when I was about 25 I realised they weren't actually a real band. But
that,
what a great...
That could be Te Reo Māori. Many, many more.
Yeah,
many, many more.
That would be a toothless smile. Yeah, many, many more.
One other thing I really should mention, though, Te Taumata Kapahaka, Wahine Toa, which is on Saturday the 14th of July. So if you're into kapahaka, that is absolutely the place to be. Captivating live performances by some of the best kapahaka proponents in Aotearoa, including Te Waka Huia. It would be an awesome day out. It runs from 1 o'clock till 7 o'clock, and it's at the ASB Waterfront Theatre.
Wow.
It is free.
Well, I'm just amazed. And you know what? I'm going to have to look up the Rotorua Matariki celebrations, because I'm actually taking the children to Rotorua for 7 days over Matariki. I'm looking at the stuff going, why am I going? Why am I leaving Auckland? There is so much on in Auckland. You could spend the entire holidays just chasing Matariki dreams, couldn't you?
Absolutely.
Mm. And I could go and see some amazing theatre in Te Reo Pākehā, Te Reo Māori, Te Reo Cantonese, and Te Reo Samoan. Is that correct?
Aye.
That would be... I'm still trying to get my head around that, Georgie.
We have to go to all four.
Yeah, I'm thinking... Well, I won't be here, I don't think. When are they
I'm
on?
I'm going to go to all four without you. I'm going to go to all four without you.
Well, that's... Okay. You go off without me all the time to
you
things.
You could shave your head into a mohawk, and then it'll be like Richard was there as well.
It has occurred to me recently that if I just... I just have to put my head up because the side's already shaved.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm already halfway there.
What time does... When does your start? How many weeks are you out from opening? It's not far away.
It's not far away. We've got... what's today? Sunday. Mm. We've got one more week. And then we're up on Wednesday, next Wednesday.
So 10 days away.
Mm.
How are you, because I've seen the script of this piece.
Oh, man.
How are you learning all those lines? Because if you... Do you think
so
they're...
So dense.
It's
so dense on words, and also it's hard enough learning lines, but also when they don't make sense and they don't run into each other a lot of the time, it's so much harder. And, I don't envy the likes of any of the other teams who might be speaking their second language in this performance. Are you in that? Tricky stuff.
Some sentences, one sentence ends with chromosomes.
Chromosomes,
when
that's right.
Nothing else in the entire sentence before it had anything to do with
Pui. For example, chromosomes, bloody.
Are you using transliteration, or are you using Te Reo Pākehā where there's no word in Te Reo Māori?
Ngā me rua, yeah, mo te chromosomes, ko te pūira. Ira is a spot, and pū is a accentuated spot. Tētahi wā translates.
Yeah.
And te fru, kia ora ni.
And how are you learning all the lines?
There's the tino mahi ano and just stay up very late.
Lots of hard work.
Yeah, lots of hard work. Yeah, I.
Yeah.
I just don't envy you that. Because a lot of the time when they make sense, when you're talking in a play and you learn lines that follow on and you get cues from the other person in the sense they're having a conversation with this, they don't. That's the theatre of the absurd, isn't it? That's absurd stuff.
Yeah, it's tricky. But I mean, the plus side is that if I mess up and say elephant instead of a
chromosome,
building, then no one's going
to
know.
But I was just about to say that actually, you could just say nonsensical sentences and then that would be it.
Yep. Right. Yep. I mean, sure, there is obviously themes and stuff that run through and they're dotted around, but yeah. But yeah, you could fluff it. I won't.
No, you won't, because who's directing you?
Wink.
Yeah, that was a big wink, Chris.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm good at winking on radio.
Yeah.
I can't see you winking.
Ah, ruined. Adam Rohi.
Yes.
Directing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy. Complicated surname.
Complicated surname.
It is. I keep going to say Rohi.
Or is it Roh?
I thought it was Ro, and now I say Rohi, because I'm studying Te Reo. I'm on level 3 at the moment. And
congratulations.
Thank you. I've gotten into the habit of rolling my R's for a lot of things and not thinking about it.
I had a dear friend who learned Te Reo Māori when it wasn't popular, the Pākehā that we had to learn Te Reo Māori, and she was so immersed in it and so loved it that she started saying piano. rather than piano.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she was all the vowel sounds suddenly became... Te Reo Māori vowel sounds, because it was the only way that she could get her head around trying to change her really strong Kiwi accent, because she had a terrible Kiwi accent.
That's the other thing, like acting in a Kiwi accent is really hard.
Oh.
Like I've found it really difficult.
Accentuating the Kiwi accent?
Yeah, I don't know if I have a very strong one myself, but...
Mate.
But I guess as an actor, I've been trained out of using... Mm. My Kiwi accent, so now there's a block in my brain when I'm on stage. I tend to round my words a lot more and come across a little more English than usual. So it's been really...
And that goes back to this whole thing about cultural cringe being Pākehā, because as Pākehā actors are taught not to be Pākehā and not to speak, and people say, well, we don't want to sound like a New Zealander, don't want to sound like a Kiwi, but that's actually our unique...
Yeah.
You know, it's a unique sound.
Me atu ki a Shortland Street mo tērā momo āhuatanga nē.
Aye.
Shortland Street made us familiar with our own sound.
Yeah.
Te mea I mui tērā, you couldn't get a job in radio in the 70s, 80s if you didn't have a receive.
BBC voice.
Receive pronunciation.
Yeah.
Double Passion talks about that in music as well. Singing songs
keeping
New Zealand accent.
I find that really difficult. I try. And I always go, American.
Yes. Mm. There's a temptation to say dance.
Yeah, dance.
Oh, no, there's not. Never has been. Except when my children were young and they used to listen to the Wiggles, which gets in your head and doesn't disappear. And you say things like, you start singing dance, because you have to, because it has to rhyme with the other words in the songs. And then it becomes part of pants.
There's a pants dance, doesn't really...
The pants dance.
The pants dance.
The pants dance. That's the BBC, isn't it?
Go to the floor and do the pants dance.
So now, this is shameless promotion time, because we're nearly out of time, people. We're nearly out of time. Oh, my God, I know.
Tōkiri.
The Chairs, or Nōwhua. He Turu Mau.
Oh, go on.
And I can't do that. I don't read Cantonese, I apologise. But the Chairs is the Te Reo Pākehā, on by Eugene Onesco, in translation to Pākehā. And we're talking about a cultural translation, eh?
Aye.
Yeah, so that's from the 11th to the 14th of July. Te Reo Māori, 18th to the 21st of July. Samoan, 25th to 28th. And Cantonese is the 3rd to the 4th of August.
1st to the 4th.
1st to the 4th. It's the yellow font. I can't read it properly.
Yeah, it's quite difficult.
7:30 Wednesday to Saturday. And there's a Saturday matinee at 2 p.m.
You got it.
You guys are going to be tired.
Yeps.
Yeah.
And you,
it's on at the Po Theatre. So just go to the Po and they'll see what's on with great support. Tickets between $12 and $22. Is it a long show?
I guess it will vary between. But it's funny because the script is so dense. It's only 26 pages of script, but it comes to about an hour because there's so many words. Yeah. About an hour for us.
We haven't got that far yet.
That's when you start running it, eh? Then you'll know what the timing is.
Yeah.
The only one I'm going to miss... No, I'll be back. Is the 21st a Sunday or a Saturday? Is that a Saturday?
Saturday.
I'm going to miss the Te Reo Māori one, and that's the one I want to go and see. I'm at a conference
classic
in Rotorua.
Party,
excellent. Yeah, typical way.
Yeah.
Typical pākehā.
Typical.
Oh, it's just
a
way.
I think I'll pick up to the idea that time near. We put it out there that it might come in the festival.
There's a chance that Te Reo Māori's version will be in some festivals coming up. Which festival?
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Just name any festival.
Name any festival. All of them.
Climb any mountain.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, all three of you, for coming into the studio. Looking forward to these Matariki events. I'm going to get to some of those in that first week of the holidays, I think, before I go away. But there'll be stuff happening in Rotorua, I hope.
Right.
I hope there will be.
Right.
Yeah, and that would be good. That would be good to see it. It's a lot to celebrate, and it's nice to own our celebrations in Aotearoa, to actually have our own that aren't imposed on us from the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
That's pretty spectacular. So, congrats to you and your team for putting together an awesome, awesome program. That's
Thank you.
Cool.
I'll pass it on.
Yes, please do. They're all listening to you and having a bit of a laugh. So,
A laugh. Love,
I had my, do I need my BBC voice on?
Yeah.
Having a bit of a laugh.
There you go.
Yes. So thank you very much for joining us in Kick Arts here this evening. It's been a lovely show. We're heading off now. We're here next week, July the 7th. We're here.
You're looking at me, but I can't do that voice.
Why not?
I don't know how.
My name's Georgia. It's my BBC voice.
That's not a BBC. That's almost like a... You sound Al Pacino and some bad kind of Italian mafia.
Like if Al Pacino was a chipmunk, maybe.
If Al Pacino had a really bad cold.
Yes.
Yes. And was a little bit sleazy. So next week, I'll be here next week. Will you be here next week? Or are you off doing some more?
I am here always. No, for the next month, I've got no events.
Wow.
So please give me lots of shows to review.
Okay,
to get to the Matariki.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm going to go to so many things.
Yes, you are. And you're going to come back and talk about them. Hey, yes, Matariki. Thank you, everyone. If you're wanting to come on the show and talk about the events you're doing, the things you're doing, the theatre you're doing, the innovative arts you're doing, all you have to do is get in touch with us, kickarts1, that's the number one, kickarts1, @gmail.com, or you can go onto our Facebook page and message us. It's Kickarts, of course, our Facebook page, and we're the radio show, not the shop in Melbourne. I know. There's a shop in Melbourne called Kickarts. I've discovered this because they've messaged us a few times saying, people have contacted us about your show and they want to be on your show.
Awesome.
We don't do event listings. We don't do things like that. But we do like you to come in and talk about your project and talk about yourself and share the amazing work that's going on here in Tamaki Makaurau in the arts sector. So I've been Richard Green, your host for the last 90 minutes with the lovely George Parker. And go out there this week and kick some arts.
Bye.
Happy to have